Hello, good morning. This is Rick Pena, and I am bringing you today's word for December 10th, 2021. I almost said 2022 because we're almost at 2022, but listen, we're here December 10th, 2021. We're closing out the year strong, heading into even not, you know, this week, we're closing out the week strong, heading into the weekend strong. Today, we're closing out a series strong. Oh my God. And then soon we're going to be closing out the year strong. So right now, this is all about the spirit of a finisher. We need to finish some things out. We need to finish them right and get ready for the next season, the next level, the next year, all of that. Well, I've been teaching a series entitled We Can Withstand and Overcome Anything. I've been teaching this series for 11 weeks. This is part 55 of the series. I trust that these 11 weeks have been a blessing to you. 11 weeks of getting down in the Word, teaching you to be built up and edified, encouraged and inspired to the point where you know that you can withstand and overcome anything. There's nothing you can't do. Open up your heart to receive the word. All right, so that said, let's get into the word for this morning. It's Friday. Man, those of you that know me, I love Fridays. I love heading into the weekend strong. Glory to God. And then we're closing out a series. So 11 weeks of this teaching, we can withstand and overcome anything. So yesterday, I provide you a series recap. Number one, today is series recap number two, and it's the last message in the series. Next week, I'm going to do something different. Then we're going to take a break for Christmas, and then I'm going to come back in 2022, and I'll be ready for whatever God has to say to me about 2022. All right. So let's close this message out, or this series out, in this week out, all of that with this message, with this recap. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, the Bible says, "Now it's because of God's mercy that we have been entrusted with the privilege of this new covenant ministry. As a result, we will not quit. We will not faint with weariness. We are like common clay jars that carry around this glorious treasure on the inside. We are God carriers. We carry the glory with us everywhere we go. And God set it up this way so that the immeasurable power that is released from our lives, that emanates from our lives, could be seen as God's power and not our power. Now, though we experience every kind of pressure, the truth is, you know, the reality is, we're not crushed. Why? Because God is on us and in us and with us and for us. And yes, it's true. At times we don't even know what to do, but we know this. Quitting is not an option. We're persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We may be knocked down, but we're not knocked out. We continually share in the death of Jesus in our own bodies, but this is so that the life of Jesus can be seen in our own bodies. We consider living to mean that we're constantly being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, but this is so that Jesus can be seen through our humanity, right? So that the world can see Jesus in us. So then death is, yes, at work in us, but it's releasing life in you. Now, we have the same spirit of faith. I'm really kind of be focused on this verse 13 today. We have the same spirit of faith. Paul was writing. He said, you know, in the Old Testament, the Bible says, first I believe, then I spoke in faith. And we in the New Testament, we also believe, then we speak in faith. Verse 16 says, so no wonder we don't give up. Even though we have an outer man that's gradually wearing out, we have an inner man that's being renewed every single day. And as a result, we view our slight, short-lived challenges or troubles. We view our problems as small, light work for God, because we zoom out, we look at them through the context of the light of eternity. And when you look at eternity, come on, man, whatever you're facing right now is a small thing. It's light work for God. We view our difficulties, what happened to you, happened for you. We view our difficulties as something that is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. It's a weighty glory that is far beyond all comparison. Why? Ultimately, because we do not focus our attention on the seen. We spend our time focusing our attention on the unseen. We are able to see in the Holy Spirit. We're able to see beyond where our eyes can look. And the unseen is more real to us than the seen. We're living off of a different reality. Therefore, we can withstand and overcome anything. So what does this mean for you today as it relates to a recap? I have five things to share with you this morning, on this Friday morning, as we close out the week strong, head into the weekend strong, and get ready to receive, you know, even towards the end of the year, everything God wants to deposit down inside of us. So I have five things to share with you this morning. There was a lot that I taught over these last 11 weeks, so I had to pick a few things to kind of go back and recap. Today, I'm really going to be talking about the importance of your words. So let's get into it. Five things. Number one, here we go. You ready? Number one, words matter. I want you to know that. If you know me, you're going to be hearing that. Words matter. You're going to have what you say. So you better make sure that you are speaking what you want, because you're going to have what you say. And what you need to speak is speak the word of faith, speak the word only, speak what God is speaking. So to understand the importance of your words, you got to learn to see life, challenges, everything through God's lens or through God's perspective. So when you're looking at things from God's point of view, not from a human point of view, not living as a mere human, when you look at your challenges from God's perspective, first of all, your challenges seem smaller and more manageable. That's the first thing. But when you look at things from God's perspective, then now you will believe what God believes about the situation. And that's important because, watch this, you're going to speak whatever you believe. If I listen to you long enough, I'm going to hear what you believe, because whatever is in you abundantly has to come out of you eventually. And it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. So you're going to speak what you believe. So by me listening to you, I know what's going on in your heart. And what's really important is that not only are you going to speak what you believe, but you're going to have what you say. So you got to be careful what you speak. Words matter. Your words can either agree with heaven, like positioning you to experience heaven on earth, or your words can keep you bound to the limits of this present world. That's how important your words are. Let me say that again. Your words can either position you to agree with heaven so you can experience heaven on earth, or your words can keep you bound to the limits of this present world. There's no limits in heaven. There's no limits in God. And so God wants you to see things from his perspective. He will lead you to say some stuff that in some cases is impossible, right? But you got to say it from a believing heart if that's what God is leading you to say, because he wants you to have what you say. So the precursor to you having it is you saying it, you declaring it. It's almost like one of the principles I've taught you many times is that in the kingdom of God, almost nothing happens until you announce it. And so God wants you to announce it. God wants you to have the faith. Like, it's one thing to believe God in your heart, but to keep your mouth closed. It's another thing to take God public, to open up your mouth and say out loud what God is speaking to you in your heart. Oh man, that's a whole nother level of faith. And the Bible has a lot to say about this, about the importance of your words, because it is with your words that you are setting your heart in agreement with either God or Satan, with either heaven or hell. Either you're setting your faith in agreement with God, right? With his kingdom, his word, his will, his ways. You are speaking the language of faith, which you're putting yourself in a position to receive what God has already revealed. Or when you speak words of fear and doubt and unbelief, you're actually setting your faith in agreement with Satan, and you're putting yourself in a position to receive what he said. And so when you speak words of fear, you are actually expressing confidence in those words. You're repeating what Satan told you, that it's not going to work out. And when you repeat what he said and you're speaking words, you're actually speaking words that you believe because you said it because you believe it. Now you're speaking words of fear. You're expressing your confidence. Faith and fear are both expressions of confidence. Faith is my expression of confidence in God. Fear is my expression of confidence in Satan. So God is looking for you to align your lips with his kingdom. And when you align your lips with his kingdom, it's only a matter of time before you align your legs with his kingdom. Because if you believe it and you say it, then before long, you're going to be doing it, right? Because it's going to lead to your actions. So God wants you to align your lips and your legs with his promises, because he wants you to see it, to say it. And once you see it and you say it, it's going to lead to actions. Once you see it and you say it and you do it, you're going to have it. It's only a matter of time. Most believers don't realize how important your words are. They say stuff, they speak words of fear and doubt and unbelief all the time. And you cannot do that. You're actually canceling out. If you pray one thing in the morning in faith, I believe I receive. Come here. My back is hurting. Okay, let's pray. The power of God hits you. I receive. Oh, Lord, I feel better. Yes, Lord, I receive my healing, right? Then a few hours later, you're talking to somebody and they say, hey, how you doing? My back is killing me. Well, now, listen, you just canceled out everything that we just prayed. You got to follow up words of prayer with words of faith. But if you follow up words of prayer with words of fear and doubt and unbelief, you're canceling out everything you prayed in the morning. So no matter how long it takes, this is why you got to focus on the unseen, not the seen. No matter how long it takes, you got to get conscious of your words. You got to learn how to speak the word only, how to speak what you're seeing in the unseen. And you can't be moved by what's happening in the seen. Even when you feel like in your physical body, something that's against what God said, you got to say what God said so you can have what God said. You're going to have to keep saying what God said until you see what God said and you have what God said. And you can't be moved by what's happening down here in this world. When God speaks something to you, you got to say what God said. And you cannot allow what you see to change what you said. You have to believe God. Your words matter. Now, number two, there's a difference between speaking words that you hope will come true and speaking what you believe God has revealed to you that's already done. Those are not the same thing. And let me explain. And because I'll just be personal, like on this one, this is personal to me, because for years I did faith confessions or Bible declarations, and I still do that. But let me explain. I was doing it the wrong way. I lead you in a Bible declaration every day, right? So I believe in that stuff. But there's a difference between me just saying something I hope is going to happen and me saying what I believe is the will of God, and I'm convinced of it. So many believers who love God, these are people who love God, like well-intentioned people, people with a good heart, people who love God, people who just want to do the right thing. They say stuff that they hope is going to happen, right? So at that point, they're not really speaking words of faith from a believing heart. They're actually just speaking words of hope. They're not fully persuaded by God. They're simply speaking positive confessions in hopes that they will come to pass. Now, I'm not saying that that's necessarily wrong. It's not the best thing to do. But when you do that, at best, that's going to be hit and miss. Like sometimes it's going to work, sometimes it's not going to work. And because actually, let me take it another step further. Some people actually believe that they're manifesting stuff, right? So I remember I was talking to this person. It's like, oh yeah, I'm manifesting this. I'm manifesting it. I'm making it happen. I'm creating it. It's going to happen. I think about it and then I say it, I'm manifesting it. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, does God have anything to do with it? No, I'm manifesting it. Okay, well, cool. Well, okay, fine. If that's what you believe, that's not biblical. But, you know, if you think that you're just manifesting stuff, like I'm just coming up with stuff, I'm coming up with things I want, I'm going to cut them out of a magazine, I'm going to put them on my fridge, and every time I walk by, I receive it. That's cool. But if you came up with it, remember, God is not obligated to give you what you came up with. God is not obligated to your words. God is obligated to his words. And so some people think that they do that, and then because they put a scripture on it, or they say in Jesus' name, that God has to give it to them. No, God doesn't have to do anything. God is God. And so some people even take it so far as to say, I'm commanding God. I command my morning. I'm commanding God. So listen, look at me. Real quick, let me slow down for the people in the back. You can't tell God what to do. That would be the tail wagging the dog, right? There is a God and you're not him. So you don't get to tell God what to do. You can't command God. If you could tell God what to do, you would be God's God. So that's not how it works. God is not obligated to fulfill your words. God is obligated to fulfill his words, and he watches over his word to perform it. So the text we've been looking at says we have the same spirit of faith that's described in the scriptures when it says, first, I believe, then I spoke in faith. Well, guess what? We also believe, then we speak in faith. So if you come up with words or something that you want that God didn't come up with, like it was birthed in your heart and not God's heart, and then you're saying it, the text says, first, I believed, then I spoke. The problem is you didn't first believe. For you to first believe, that believing is tied to God and what he said and his word and whatever he's revealing to you by the Holy Spirit. If God didn't first speak, then you're saying something you want. I'm not saying that you can't ask God for whatever you want. That's cool. You can do that. But don't think that God has to give you everything you ask for. That's not how it works, right? God is not a sugar daddy. That's not how it works. So you didn't first believe. You got to first believe, then open up your mouth to declare. Right. And so if you believe what God is saying to you and you're fully persuaded of what God is revealing to you, and then you believe that and then you open up your mouth. Now that's a different story. Now you're setting your faith in agreement with heaven. It's not your will, it's God's will. As a result, you will experience heaven on earth. Another scripture we've been looking at says, for no matter how many promises God has made, God's promises are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Let me slow down so you got that. The Bible says all the promises of God are yes in Christ. God has already provided the yes to every one of his promises, not what you came up with. And so the text says, because he already provided the yes, once you discover the promise of God towards you, you have to provide the amen. God has provided the yes. I have to open up my mouth, believe what God said, and then provide the amen. God provides the yes. I provide the amen. That's how it works. It starts with God. It doesn't start with me. So I have to believe and receive what God is saying. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Here's an example that you can relate to, especially around this time of the year. So I'll move on from this point. So an angel comes to Mary. She's a young girl. She's a virgin. She's never had sex with anybody. The angel says, you're going to get pregnant. She's like, how can I get pregnant? Right? I've never been with nobody. It's like, no. Well, this is supernatural. You know your cousin Elizabeth, right? Oh, yeah. No. She couldn't have no babies, right? Yeah. Well, guess what? She's 6 months pregnant right now. All things are possible with God. There's nothing impossible with God. She was like, oh, okay. I got it. All right. So she was like, so this is what God wants. Yeah, this is what God wants. So this is the will of the Father for me. Yes. Okay, fine. Now, I don't know how this works. I didn't come up with this. I didn't ask for this. But if this is what you want, God, you already provided the yes. Let me provide the amen. She opened up her mouth and said, okay, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And in that moment, boom, she got pregnant. God provided the yes. She provided the amen. And in that moment, she got pregnant. Why? This was not her idea. It was God's idea. It wasn't birthed in her heart. It was birthed in God's heart. It was not something that she just came up with. She was hoping and wishing and praying. No, this was the will of God revealed to her. And when the will of God was revealed to her, she believed it and she opened up her mouth and put an amen on it. And now, boom, she got pregnant. That's what I'm talking about. You got it? All right, number three, your words are telling everyone outside of you what is going on inside of you. Your words are telling everyone outside of you what's going on inside of you. Your words are a litmus test for the condition of your heart. Daily, your words are telling on you. Your words are telling on you. Your words are exposing to me on the outside what's happening to you on the inside, because you, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So faith has a language. I can hear the language of faith. It doesn't take me long. I can listen to you. And if you're talking to me about a situation, I can tell whether or not you're in faith or not because your words are telling on you. I can hear faith, but I can also hear fear and doubt and unbelief. And so your words are telling on you. If you don't like the words that the message that your words are portraying, then you got to change what's coming out. The only way to change what's coming out is to change what's going in, right? If you're in the middle of the night and you you're in a hotel and you get up and you've never been here before, and as you're walking to the bathroom, boop, you stump your baby toe. You know, I don't know what it is about that baby toe, but you stump your baby toe, and then a curse word comes out. And when a curse word comes out, you go, oh, where'd that come from? Well, it's easy. It only came out because it got in. You're not going to speak out what was not deposited in. I've told you this before. Your eyes are a gate. Your ears are a gate. So whatever goes through your eyes gets down in your heart. Whatever goes through your ears gets down in your heart. And then whatever's in you abundantly has to come out of you eventually. So if you want to change what's coming out, you got to change what's coming in. The only way to change the output is to change the input. Now, if you change the input and get the word of God or words of faith or things that are going to build you up and not tear you down, through your eye gate, through your ear gate, is going to get down in your heart. Before you know it, it's going to change the content and the quality and the condition of your heart. And once you do that, then it's going to change your words, right? So now you change what's coming in, you change what's coming out. Now, once you change your input and you change your output, it's going to change your actions, because you're going to speak words that you believe in. You're going to wind up doing what you say, and then you're going to have what you say. That's how it works. It all starts with renewing your mind to think and act like God. You got to change what you're allowing in so you can change what's coming out. And the church said, amen. Number four, when we pray, we are declaring. One of the ways to pray effectively is to declare or come in agreement with what you're seeing in the unseen realm. Right. And then once that happens, you cannot allow yourself to be moved by the seen realm. And so this is a good example in Mark 11. We took our time studying what Jesus said to a fig tree. Right. So Jesus walks up to a fig tree. Remember, Jesus only said those things that he heard the Father say. He only did those things that he was led of the Father to do. So he walks up to a fig tree, and the Father shows Jesus a picture of the fig tree dried up from the roots. And then the Father leads Jesus to speak what he was seeing, what he was believing. So Jesus opened up his mouth and spoke 9 words. No man shall eat fruit from you hereafter forevermore. And he walked away like it was already done. And so Jesus spoke to the tree, but initially the tree didn't move. So he spoke to the tree. He, in his heart, he saw the tree dried up. With his eyes, he saw the tree full of leaves. He spoke what he believed, not what he was seeing. He called those things which be not as though they were. He spoke words of faith from a believing heart. No man shall eat fruit from you hereafter forevermore. And then when he said it, initially, the tree didn't dry up. Nothing happened. But he wasn't moved by what he was seeing with these eyes. He was only moved by what he was seeing in the spirit. So he spoke to it and he walked away like it was already done. And we know the story. 24 hours later, it was done. And then the disciples are, oh man, oh Jesus, the trees dried up. And he said, well, you could do the same thing. If you speak to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, but you cannot doubt in your heart though. You cannot doubt. But if you speak what you believe, what the Father's revealing to you, and you do not doubt in your heart, you're going to have whatsoever you say. Elijah did the same thing. Elijah walks up to the king and says, it's not going to rain until I say it rains. Elijah didn't come up with that. Mary didn't come up with the idea. The Father did for her to get pregnant. Jesus didn't come up with the idea to curse the tree. The Father did. He said, I only say those things. Okay. Boom, the tree dried up. Elijah didn't come up with the idea for it not to rain. God told Elijah, go say it's not going to rain. And so he opened up his mouth. He said, it's not going to rain because God is declaring himself. So it's not going to rain till I say it rains. And he walked away. And guess what? It didn't rain for 42 months. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then when God sent him back, okay, now say it's going to rain. And he went back and declared that it was going to rain. And then he prayed. He got down on his knees and the rain didn't come. He sent a servant and said, go check. Comes back, I don't see nothing. He prayed again. He tell the servant, go back. Comes back, I don't see nothing. But once again, Elijah's not moved by what he's seeing with these eyes. He's only moved by what's happening in his heart because of what God said. He said, go back. He sent him back 7 more times, 8 times total. On the 8th time, the servant come back and said, man, I see a cloud, a small cloud, the size of a man's hand. He said, well, we got to get ready. A deluge is coming. I'm talking about a storm is coming. Glory to God. Why? But watch this. So here's my point. My point is, and what Elijah was persistent. He was seeing rain in his heart, even though he wasn't seeing rain with these eyes. So he kept praying and believing and declaring what he was seeing in his heart, not what he was seeing with these eyes, not what he was seeing in the natural. He kept believing. So when things don't line up, when the natural doesn't line up with the spiritual, you have to believe the spiritual over the natural every time. And you kind of keep saying what God has said until you see what God has said. He kept saying, rain is coming. Go back and check again. Come back. It's not there. Pray. Rain is coming. Go back and check again. And you have to do that. You got to be like, no. I speak life and blessing over my kids. Oh, it don't look right. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep saying what God said until I see what God said. And then I talk to my kids. Oh, that's not what God said. I'm going to keep saying what God said until I see what God said. And you got to do that over your marriage, over your physical body, over your children, over your finances, over your career, over your life. You speak the word only. Your words matter. You believe in your heart what God has revealed, not what you came up with. This is not a hoping and a wishing and a praying. I'm talking about what God came up with. I'm saying what God said until I see what God said. And I'm not moved by what happens in the natural. I'm only moved by what God said. And the church said, amen. Last thing, number 5, and finally, and I release you into the weekend. Jesus did not accept everything that happens to him as the will of God. He, in turn, spoke God's will over situations. Listen, unfortunately, some people just receive everything. They go, well, God knows what he's doing. When bad things happen to good people, well, God knows what he's doing. You know, such and such is in the hospital with COVID. God knows what he's doing. You know, if God put COVID on, it's okay. No, stop. Everything is not the will of God, and God is not doing everything down here. Stop blaming God for stuff. I mean, there's things that happen that either, one, there is a devil, remember that, and then two, sometimes we just make dumb decisions and we're reaping a harvest on the bad decisions that we made. But Jesus received his orders from headquarters on a daily basis. That's how we're supposed to do it. Jesus spent time, alone time with the Father in the morning. Every day we should spend our alone time. I'm not saying you can't pray around other people, but you got to be able to hear from the Father. And if Jesus saw, matter of fact, Jesus saw a clear need to spend time with the Father alone in prayer. We got to spend time with the Father alone in prayer, right? But then when Jesus came back, he was able to hear from the Father. And then when he saw situations in the natural, he didn't just accept it as, oh, that's the will of God. No. Because he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he knew when something was the will of the Father and when something was not the will of the Father. And when something was not the will of the Father, you know what Jesus spoke? He spoke the will of the Father. He spoke the storms. He spoke the sickness. He spoke the illness. He spoke the disease. He spoke the opposition. My point is, you're going to have to open up your mouth and say something. You can't just accept everything that happens to you as the will of God. No. Faith is voice activated. The kingdom of God, nothing happens until you announce it. You can't just accept things that happen to you. The devil is a liar and Jesus is the Messiah. If you want to withstand and overcome anything, you are going to have to learn how to open up your mouth and say what God is saying over that situation. Open up your mouth and come up against what's coming up against you. You got to go on the offense. The kingdom of God is always advancing. When something happens to you that you know is not the will of God, don't accept it. You know, bind it, plead the blood of Jesus, open it, over it, open up your mouth, speak over your children, your body, your health, your marriage, your finances, your business, your relationships. I need you to speak it. God will allow whatever you allow. God will permit whatever you permit. So if you just let it happen, be like, well, I guess that's the will of God. The God is going to be looking at you like you crazy. Why are you letting that stuff happen? God will allow whatever you allow. God will permit whatever you permit. Speak the word only. And you're going to have whatsoever you say. I pray that these last 11 weeks have been a blessing to you. I covered a lot of ground in 11 weeks. You can withstand. You can overcome anything. I pray that you know, you've been blessed by this series. Obviously, it's on YouTube. It's on the podcast. So you can go to the iTunes or any podcast, search for the Rick Pina Podcast. All of our teaching is available out there for free. Go to youtube.com/Rick Pina. All of these teachings are available for free. So get them, you know, listen to them. Get this down in your heart. Let's close out this series. Let's close out this week with the word of God. I want you to lift up your voice and speak this over your life. Say, Father, this is a season of leveling up for me. I level up by speaking the language of faith daily. Jesus is my example. The fact that Jesus had to pray is humbling to me. If he had to pray, I know I have to pray. He discovered your will, and I have to do the same. But once he discovered your will, he refused to deviate from it. He was not on this planet to do whatever he wanted. He was only on this planet to do what you sent him to do. I live the same way. Without you, I can do nothing. But with you, I can do all things. So I'm open to hearing your voice. I will never stray from it. I only do what you lead me to do. And as you lead me, Father, I open up my mouth and I speak against every negative situation. I declare that no curse, no hex, no vex, no spell, no bacteria, no virus, no germ, no attack of the enemy, no backstabber, no one, and nothing has any power over me or my family. I see in the spirit, and I say what I see until I have what you've said. Living this way, I know greater is coming for me. I declare this by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. This is today's word. This is the end of this series. I love you dearly. I'm releasing you into the weekend. I got something special for you next week. And then we're going to close out the year. So listen, go into this weekend knowing that God loves you, that he wants you to speak what he's revealing to you. And if you say what he's saying, you're going to have what he's saying in your life. Do me a favor, two things. Leave me some comments in the chat if this message has been a blessing to you. And then share this message right now on your social media, on your timeline, and with your friends. Have an amazing weekend. I'll see you on Monday morning. God bless you.